Hey, everybody, it's Lance Dawson. I'm back with my co-host Andrew Stewart with another episode of Backstage Lowdown. Today, we have an amazing treat for you. Canadian rock icon Andy Kim. Yes, you know him from that amazing hit Rock Me Gently. It is 50 years old now. Unbelievable. I bet you didn't know he was also a member of the Archies and co-wrote Sugar Sugar. Anyway, we get to talk to Andy Kim for a very short period of time, but we got him anyway. Here we go. Needs that guy. I'll tell you this. Whoa, are you okay? I'm cutting out. I'm good.
Yeah, no, I'm fine. I can hear you fine.
Oh, okay. I'm a big fan of Rock Me Gently. Love that song. I also like Sugar Sugar. So, you know, these are not rock songs that I necessarily grew up on, but discovered later. And I was like, wow, that's really cool.
No, exactly. Like I started going through Andy's playlist. I'm kind of like, man, I know that song. I know that song. It was incredible. It was a stroll down memory lane, and two, just to introduce myself to some old music that I hadn't even heard before.
I don't know what it's like to, we'll ask him too when he gets here, just about what it's like when you write a song that affects so many people and it goes that big, right?
I know.
So that's pretty cool.
I'm really curious about his, kind of like how he first got into the music industry and where it actually started.
So he was born in 1946. So that now makes him do our math. It's 2024, 1946.
78.
Carry the one. 78.
Yes.
Put your get that calculator away.
It's a winner. I need the one with the big numbers.
Yeah, I know. I can't believe you lifted that up on camera now.
Oh, I don't. I don't care.
You know, the problem is I forget that you now are doing these up on YouTube, and I never think, oh, I'm doing a show today and we should, you know, maybe try to look human or something. But anyway,
no,
whatever.
No need.
I thought we were doing this because we had the faces for radio, and now you're posting on YouTube. Why? Why?
It's a terrible, terrible mistake. Terrible mistake.
Yeah.
So how's your weekend anyway?
Weekend was good. Up in Blue Mountain. I don't know. I probably have talked about this before on the show because we're on like, what, season three now or something. But anyway, yeah. I'm affected with some seasonal allergies. So May is my least favorite month of the entire year. And here in Waterloo, not so bad, but Blue Mountain, man,
is it pretty bad? I mean, I find it bad enough here. My eyes have been just watering for the last couple of weeks.
Right. So we have a high pollen count. And the problem is that, you know, I have to sort of double dose the medication for antihistamine, which dries out your vocal cords. And you can maybe hear that even with me doing this today. And I've got 2 gigs this week. So, you know, I've got to get off of that stuff and hopefully.
You know what? It will look like you're really emotional about the music. You've got the tears running down your face.
Eye drops. Just eye drops. Yeah.
Nice.
There you go. How about you? Good long weekend?
Yeah. Yeah. No. Some family was over. It was good to kind of catch up. And it was even better to kick them out of the house at the end of the day.
Yeah, there you go.
Sure, they're not going to watch this episode.
No. This is great, though. I think we went for a bit of a spell there. I think we were both really busy and didn't have a lot of episodes in the can. So now it's starting to roll again, which I like. So this is cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I always try to promo some up-and-coming stuff because we had talked about at least one of the guys from Glass Tiger, I think, was on our list, weren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm supposed to be introduced to him in person in a couple weeks' time. And then we'll figure it out from there.
Wow. Look at you.
Yeah.
Hobnobbing with all the celebrities. Exactly.
And as well, too, I've been in contact with Alan Cross from the History of New Music, ongoing History of New Music. So he is just in the process of producing a new film about CFNY, kind of the classic days, the spirit of radio.
Oh, right
and,
on.
We're going to be talking about that film.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Date to be determined, but yep. I'm reaching out to him at the end of this month just to see where they are in post-production. Okay. And we'll hopefully be getting him on shortly after that.
Fantastic. We do have Dave Woods from Dave Woods in the Country. He's going to be, I think, next week, if we can just tie down a date or time. And so that's going to be kind of fun, too.
Beautiful.
Yeah, there you go. What do you got going on this week? Anything coming up that's fun?
No, I wish I had something for you. I got nothing.
Saturday night.
I mean, we got the show.
Yeah.
We've got Saturday this show. Night.
Well, we got this show. But you're also a member. You're also a card-carrying member of another show, and that's Saturday night. You coming out?
You know what? I hadn't even considered. I assume I'll probably be there.
All right.
Edelweiss?
Yeah.
Right.
Awesome. Edelweiss? I think amps around at 8:30. That's a great gig. We want everybody to come out. But it's funny because the owner of the Edelweiss always wants us like done at midnight. Just stop. Mm-hmm. Stop playing.
But doesn't matter where you are in the song.
Yeah. So he's going to pull the electrical cord out of the socket. Let's wrap this up. I go, okay.
The hand goes down and right up in the air. Thank you. Yep. Good night. Yep. It's midnight.
Apparently we're all going to turn into pumpkins. I don't know. We try to do
well.
A good job
he's going to turn into a pumpkin, wants to get home.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure it's been a long day for him.
I don't think he's there anymore. I think he listens to the first set. He always seems to like the band and then he takes off, but that's all right.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That's okay. Yeah. So, yeah, that's going to be fun. I've got the Burlington. I'm playing in Burlington on Thursday and then Saturday night. So I'm hoping I won't sound like this.
No. Yeah, exactly. Where's that show again?
Burlington, the Block Company.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's this very vibey thing, and it's a very artsy type of community down by the lake in Burlington. So the guys in the band and I went down and watched Ron Hawkins play there a few weeks ago. And so they've invited me to come down and try my hand at doing a solo gig down there. So that's kind of fun too. And then we're back at TWB mm-hmm. on June 7th, but that's not me. That's like the whole band. So that'll be fun too.
That's great.
7 to 9 on the patio, craft beer, good music. Maybe, I don't know.
You can't beat that.
You can't beat that.
I mean, they've got a nice patio there.
They do have a nice patio.
Last time I was there, they were just getting it set up and it was looking beautiful.
Yeah, they set that up in like 15 minutes. When I did that solo thing, there was no patio. And they're like, hey, it's a nice day. Why don't we just, you know, open the patio? And then 15 minutes later, there's a stage and lights. And they're like, wow, that's pretty
hilarious.
Cool. Yeah, those guys are great. Tom O'Connor, if he's listening, he's the guy down there that runs the show. And they're just good people. You know, it's a co-op and they're a living wage brewery that have not paid me for this advertising. I'm just saying if you're looking for a place to go and have some good beer and hang out with some cool people, that is the place. So
that's awesome.
Anyway, there you go. So yeah. And in our last show, which people can already see on YouTube, Andrew's been great. He's editing these things. You can listen to the audio on our website or on Spotify or Apple Music or whatever. But the video portion, if you really, really want to torture yourself, is on YouTube.
Turn that on.
Backstage Lowdown, YouTube. So we talked to Derek Green from Honeymoon Suite. Where was I going with this? Oh, yeah. And you talked about your heading down to Nashville in October. That's where I'm going with this. So that's very, very cool. And is that the only trip on the calendar thus far?
Yeah, I get a little family thing on the side. But this is the only music-related trip that's happening. I've already, when we were talking last, I was talking about catching a show at the Ryman and have booked tickets now for Sam Barber.
Oh, nice. So,
singer, songwriter, right. younger guy, but man, gosh, he can sing. He's got some sad stories. Either that, right. Or he's got allergies and.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm going with. That's right. Sorry, everybody. I'm just emotional about the music. And also the pollen. The pollen's very upsetting. I see one more bumblebee, damn it. I'm moving to Arizona for the month of May.
So how many guitar questions do you have ready for today?
You know what? I don't think Andy Kim is known for owning lots of guitars or playing lots of guitars. You know what I mean? So I don't know.
He's a singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And most of those, most of those guys are okay with just one. I will. You know what? I will. I'll ask him what his favorite guitar is. But now we've talked about it in the intro, that's not even a surprise anymore.
No.
So.
There we go.
Hey, Andy, how you doing?
Don't you have anything better to do?
Not at all. Andy, I'm Lance Dawson, and that other handsome guy you're looking at is Andrew Stewart.
Hey, Andrew.
Keep it easy. We try to stay with the same name.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. So we want to thank you for taking time to be with us today. We know you're on a pretty busy, tight schedule, so thank you.
It's kind of a crazy schedule today, but you know what? I'm excited about doing this.
Well, I was just saying to Andrew, we're very excited to get to meet you today. And thank you for taking time to be with us.
I'll let you know how it goes. How about that? Okay.
I love it.
All right. Exactly. So it's funny because we were just doing a little bit of research. We're all big fans of Rock Me Gently. And we've been talking a little bit in the intro about it being 50 years old, which is hard to believe. But how's that feel? You're obviously on a tour right now and celebrating a song of that gravity that made that much impact being 50 years old. How's that feeling?
Well, I don't know how it feels, to be honest with you. First of all, I'm having a great life. I feel very blessed that I ran away from Montreal and went to New York City. I never took up the mantle of being the guy who did this and who did that. I was just happy and lucky to write and make records, and I'm touring this late in my career.
That's fantastic.
It's fantastic. Let me ask you this though, Andy, because this has been a little bit of a theme, and I've asked this before though. Do you find that you're getting, you're almost sounding better, like your voice is better now and than it was, maybe back in the day when you originally recorded, and you've got more things to say and more things to write about at this point in your career?
Yeah, you know what? I think it was about a couple of years ago or 3 years ago where I was kind of curious because I was listening, the radio plays kind of your early songs and some of the songs I did with Kevin Drew, Broken Social Scene. I asked myself, so when did you learn that you could sing?
Good question.
Because I never went to any music school. I never picked up a guitar that someone taught me how to play. I just did what was instinct. And I look back and I smile at the younger me doing all this stuff and realize that somehow here's what I believe. God sent one of his angels to take care of me because I had no friggin' idea what I was doing. That's how I got here. And I'm studying.
I love it. You know, everybody loves an origin story. Well, it's whether it's Ritchie Valens or it's Elvis. You run away from Montreal, head down with yourself and your angel to New York. What happens at that point? How do you get noticed? Where does the career go?
Well, I'm not thinking about anything except meeting one person. That was Jeff Barry.
Okay.
And one of the first One of the first kind of signals from outer space for me was borrowing my transistor radio from my older brother and hearing Joey Reynolds at WKBW in Buffalo and all the disc jockeys at WABC in New York. And WABC, for some reason, had a stronger signal to where I was living. And Be My Baby by the Ronettes totally excited the daylights out of me, because I had no idea about how this record was made, how it, I'm kind of like just ignorant about the music world. My brothers used to play 45s in their room, but I never paid that much attention until the transistor radio got my ear. And I've always felt that it was the way that disc jockeys talked about the artists that were coming to town, the they're going to play at Palisades Park, or they're going to play somewhere in the city, and the girls are already lined up. And for a kid that grew up in the tenements of Montreal, that was a dream. It wasn't reality, because I don't come from that reality.
No.
And I turn around at this time in my life and think, okay, when's the reality going to hit me that I've done this? Because I always feel I'm starting over, or I'm learning, and I'm in awe of anyone who dreams a dream based on nothing, but based on an instinct, a passion. And somewhere in my heart, I knew that, but I only got to really face it later on in life, that I was living my one and only life, and it wasn't a sequel. There were no sequels to this. So what am I doing with my one and only life? Not what someone else is doing, not what someone on the radio is doing, but what am I doing to achieve this magical one and only life? Am I yakking too much?
No, not at all. It's a good question. I think a lot of people should start off maybe every day, right? Every day it's a good question to ask.
Yeah. You know what?
There's no do-overs.
There are no do-overs. There are no do-overs. And I've never tried to be someone else, because I couldn't understand what someone else would be. And if my record got on the charts, I would celebrate. And if I had the opportunity to do it again, I'd celebrate, because there was a motto in the Brill Building on the 9th floor, Lieber and Stolter's office. The motto was, you're only as good as your last 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
So is that quote you're saying, is that in reference to, you know, if you get your 15 minutes of fame, but only the last two and a half minutes count?
Yes, because the bottom line is this, the radio stations at the time, most of the records were 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Right.
So you're only as good as your last 2 minutes and 30 seconds, which means if How Do We Ever Get This Way had not been a hit, it would be a maybe if I did an album and recorded another song. And if Shoot 'Em Up Baby or any of the other Baby songs that I've been a part of, let's say Baby, I Love You,
yep,
if that would not have been a hit, then it would be like I was on the fence of being part of that world. And I didn't come from a history of knowing what that world was. So it was on the job training or on the career training. I have no idea.
Wow.
So I have a question, because that's pretty high pressure, right? And then you did, like, I didn't know before I had an opportunity, I was going to meet you, and did a little bit of reading. By the way, I've always been a big fan of Rock Me Gently and Baby, I Love You. Those are great songs. I didn't know that you were with the Archies and had a hand in writing Sugar Sugar. That was news to me. But that sounds like a pretty high pressure thing, right? You're a kid, you're writing your best music, and I'm just trying to build a life and be part of that whole business. Here's my question. Do you kind of feel, though, that you were coming up at what I would say, like, sort of the golden age of songwriting, getting your songs on the radio? Because I look at what we're faced with now, on one hand, it's great that all these kids have the technology in their bedrooms to live and create and do all that stuff, but it's creating a tsunami of stuff, some of which is not listenable. Like, you know, to be honest, they all can't be great. And it's kind of drowning out. Like when I was growing up, and I'm making this number up, but when I'm growing up, I'm thinking maybe 200-300 bands are trying to get on the radio. That's what it seemed like, right? But now there's this tsunami. Do you feel like you're kind of the last kid at the candy store, or do you feel like there's still an opportunity for really the cream to rise to the top sort of stuff?
Well, here's what I know. What I know is that when my records were coming out, there was a generation that said, what kind of CRAP is this? This is not music. We were, whatever it was. I mean, when Elvis showed up, a big band, and Sinatra was like, you know, that generation was talking about Elvis as evil.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And so now you look back and you think, my God, he's a god. You know, it's unbelievable. So, you know, I try not to think about previous generations or the next generation. I'm only living this time. And so there are things that I don't pay attention to. There are things that I like. I'm not trying to be in that lane, as they say. I'm just enjoying the fruits of what happened a long time ago. And people like yourselves want to talk to me. I have no idea why, but I'll say yes. And it's really an exciting time for me to be able to articulate not so much my music, but really the character of the human being that I've become, whatever that means.
Well, I think it's great that because you have so much experience, you can take that and share that amongst other musicians, and it might allow them to kind of take a step back, not worry so much about what the guy or girl is doing to the left or the right of them, and just focus on what's actually happening to them at that time, and to be putting out the best music that they can.
Yeah, you know, some people ask me for some kind of magic wand in my life and stuff, and the truth is there was one, but I it wasn't part of why I did anything. I just tell musicians that it's all about the song. It's all about the music. This is not about, oh, well, this guy is doing this, so I got to buy this gear. I got to buy that kind of guitar. I got to buy this. Hey, I played acoustic guitar on my songs. I knew about maybe 4 or 5 chords. So if you listen to my song, that's basically it. But I played on all of them. And when I first got a guitar that had a crack in it, I wasn't happy with the guitar pick. And my older brother, God bless him, he's still alive. He's a chain smoker. And he's never been sick. He's going to live to be 2,000 years old.
Clearly.
And so I just thought one day, I'm going to take one of his matchbooks and I'm going to rip the part off that doesn't have the matches and fold it and then fold it again. And it's how I played. It's how I auditioned to Jeff Barry. And there was something that I loved about it. So I'm not a blueprint for anybody, but I'm a blueprint for someone to recognize that this is about them. This is not about the other artist that you're listening to that you would love to be a part of. You have to get your own life, your own personality, your own thing. And so some of the things that are going on are replicated by other people that have started that, you know? So I'm not a good one for advice except to say, so play me your song. Play me your song. Play me your song, you know? Right. And people used to come and tell me, well, you know, I've got 5,000 people on Facebook and I got this. And I'd say,
I don't care. Let's hear it. Let's hear the song.
Could you tell me a name of one of your friends on Facebook? and they would be stuck. So, look, there are so many talented people that get inspired. I love the an interview that Bob Dylan did, and he was asked on 60 Minutes somewhere, would you be able to write those songs again? And he said, I don't know how those songs happened. And so when people ask me about Sugar Sugar, you get a call from Don Kirshner. And everybody knows Don Kirshner because they had a Midnight Special and all of the stuff. And he chose the music for the Monkees. That there's a cattle call. He got fired from the Monkees, got a job as musical director, supervisor to this comic book that's going to be on TV. And everybody, I guarantee you, Carole King and Barry Mann and Cynthia Wilde and so many people handed in songs. And the fact that Sugar Sugar was chosen, I have no idea why. And there's a stat that someone told me. May 24th, 1969, Rock Me Gently entered the Billboard charts for the first time. May 24th, 1969, Sugar Sugar was released, but nobody played it till the middle of July because it was not cool enough by radio stations. The year of Woodstock, we were going to the moon. There was riots in the streets. Kent State was under siege. And here's this song that was written for Betty and Veronica. That's why I got into the song, is because of Betty and Veronica, not because I was writing anything magical. So it's the consequence of your actions and the consequence of your dreams that are really responsible for the kind of life I'm having.
What I like about those songs, Andy, that you're talking about, because you're, as you alluded to, when Sugar Sugar was released, you know, it wasn't the 50s. It wasn't, you know, when life was really great and everything was sort of happy. But I like the fact that those songs were really positive. I mean, just in talking to other people and reading a few articles about, because they look back at music and in the history of it, a lot of people that were writing post-war songs, those songs were still uplifting. But now when they look at the music that this generation's writing, and there's a lot of great stuff out there, there really is, but it's not as positive and uplifting. So some would argue maybe Rock Me Gently, pretty lighthearted, but it's fun and it's uplifting. And so even in the face of what's going on about, you know, Woodstock and Vietnam and Kent State, all that stuff, it's amazing. I think that's maybe why Rock Me Gently and Sugar Sugar resonate, right? That there's such a positive song.
You know what? First of all, nobody wanted to play Sugar Sugar because program directors just wanted to play what was happening at Woodstock. And there was kind of a shift. And Rock Me Gently, I ended up producing my own record. And nobody wanted to sign me in the U.S., even though I had had a history of selling millions of records. There was no interest because I had had my 2 minutes and 30 seconds, and a lot of people didn't think that much of the song, and I couldn't let it go. So I remember the last person that told me, no, it's not a hit, which everybody did for about 3-4 months. I called home, my mom answered, and I said, Mom, I'm coming home. Well, she started crying on the phone, but what she didn't hear was, I'm coming home, I'll be home for 2 months, I'm going to start my own record company, and I'm going to be my own promotion man, I'm going to put out my own record. That's what she didn't hear. And that's what I did, not because I had a plan, but because I was so enthralled with the ability to go my own way, number one. And number two, I never saw no as anything other than an opportunity for me
Right.
To fulfill my destiny. It wasn't everyone else's responsibility. And so here I am 50 years later, and I'm talking about the song and the fact that everybody said no, and I came back home to Canada, and I was a promotion man, and it started here in Canada as if I thought about it. You know, if you get to know me, you know, I don't think much. I just follow this instinct that I have, whether it's in writing songs or talking to Lance and Andrew. I have no idea, you know. Does that make sense? Are you getting bored yet? Yeah.
No, not at all. I think that might be a really good takeaway for any young songwriters, musicians, or just anybody that's trying to follow a dream. You know, no is not, doesn't have to be no. It can be an inspirational step off, right?
Yeah, it's never no. It's only what you accept. And people have learned to accept no as no. But somehow or other, I never accepted that. I accepted the fact that it's just an opportunity for me to do something else, go somewhere else, do something else. And so everybody that said no to me, and I couldn't, there was no one else that I could, that could say no to me. I saw that as an opportunity for me. Well, you know what? I'll start my own record company.
Are you still running that today?
No, I gave up a few years ago, just from a point of view that I wasn't meant to be a record company. I'm a singer songwriter, but mostly a dreamer, right. And so it was just the time. It's just the time. Don't be afraid. Look, here's the other thing. I figured this stuff out a long time ago, even before I went to New York City, that I was born and you were born and you were each born, and anyone's born with a certain amount of heartbeats. You don't know how many you've been given. You may as well do what you want to do with the people that you want to do it with. Because you get distracted, or you're angry at somebody, or you're jealous of somebody. I've never been jealous of anybody. It's a waste of time, number one. Number two, you're not going to get those heartbeats back. So the most important advice I can ever give anyone is, who are you? And what are you doing about you? Not about looking over his shoulder or someone else saying, you know, you could be this, it should have been this, should have gone to number one, but it went to number two. It's a waste of time.
Sure.
And I think if there's a way to bring this generation to lock into the fact that this is their one and only life with no sequel, maybe they'll get it when they're 30 and they're 40, you know? I got it, but I didn't understand it, but I lived it. And when I got somewhere in my 30s, I got it. And but it's not for everyone. You know, look at you. You're talking in an environment that is a Zoom call. And 30 years from now, there'll be another environment, and people will look back at these as the good old days. So what are you doing now about you? Not about getting, you know, look, a job is a job. When I wrote songs and had hits, it was great. When I wrote songs and I didn't have hits, it wasn't that great, but I think because I'm limited, I can't be anybody else or try another gig somewhere. So I kept pushing this one. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Are you still writing, Andy?
I am.
It's not a tap you turn off, right?
You know, I can't. I'm writing again with Kevin Drew, A Broken Social Scene. Are you familiar with him at all?
Yes.
And so, look, I've discovered a lot of things about myself through Kevin's way of talking and knowing me in certain ways that I didn't stop to think about. And That's the biggest gift that someone can ever give me. And to be a friend like that is pretty emotional for me. And as a matter of fact, I talked about it so much that we ended up writing a song called It's Emotional on our album. So I just do what I do. I don't look over my shoulders. I don't miss, oh, the opportunity. I could have been this. Oh, you should have been in this movie. Well, I'm not an actor. Well, you know what? You don't have to be. It's all confusing. It's all confusing if you know you. It's confusing if you don't know who you are. You know, you're listening to someone else and trying to get a format that is different. Well, you're different. You're both different. But sometimes we don't take the time to analyze our difference.
I think that's a really good point. I know you're talking about as a metaphor, like with the music industry as a songwriter, just know yourself. But I think that's a really good gift you can also give the people around you. Because I've always said that about my wife. She's really good about knowing herself. And that has been just a really generous gift for her, myself and our two sons. Because, you know, just it, you don't tend to go off on as many crazy tangents because you just know yourself and you say, no, that's not for me. So you waste less time if you take the time to get to know yourself. I know that has nothing to do with the music industry, but
no, that's okay. But I'm realizing that she said yes to you.
Yeah, eventually. I caught it a moment of weakness.
Andy, I think it's interesting. You know what you said that earlier on, kind of, well, I'm not much of a thinker. Well, I disagree, and I'm sure Lance does as well too. Everything that you've been saying throughout this last 20 minutes has given us a lot of insight to take away. And I think probably a lot of listeners, a lot of watchers are going to find the same thing. I really appreciate the fact that that you've come and shared your time with us, shared your music with us. And I just really appreciate it. Thank you.
Are we done? Are we losing Andy?
Are we?
I know. He's on his
I missed
on short
that.
Schedule.
Lance, I missed that. What did you say?
Oh, I was just teasing Andrew because I know we only had you for a short time, but we've enjoyed your company and you've certainly shared a lot of really, insightful things. So I think Andrew was trying to wrap the show up, and I appreciate the time that you've given us, Andy. What's next for you? I'll just give one more question. What's next for you? Because I know.
Well, you know what? I'm doing my first ever tour with just an acoustic guitar, and I'm traveling with Dan Hill sometimes when we touch.
Oh wow.
So awesome. He's done it before and I've known him since 1977, and he's one of the true friends, not just a friend when you have a hit, you know.
Right.
And so he asked me recently, says, "Hey man, would you like to do this?" And I said, yes. Where are we going and when do you want me? Without even thinking.
That's fantastic. So we can look forward to seeing you guys. Are you swinging up through Ontario at all?
We are. I forget where we're. I'm so bad at this, man.
That's all good.
It's all right. We can look it up.
All I know is that we end up in Peterborough.
Oh, okay. Fantastic.
And, but I don't remember every step of the way, but I'll text you every step of the way or call you guys or.
Oh, we'd appreciate that. Maybe we can get out and see the show because we would love that. That'd be fun.
And so where are you guys?
We're in Waterloo, Ontario. So just about an hour.
Yeah. I know where that is.
Toronto. Yeah.
There was a club there I used to perform at. I forget the name of it right now, but I loved Waterloo. Danny Michelle's from Waterloo.
Michelle?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Still playing, still doing the thing. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we've got a lot of good music in this area. So, but we'll find that online, and more importantly for anyone who's listening and watching, that Andy Kim is back. He's on the road. He's on the road with Dan Hill. It's gonna be awesome.
It's gonna be great. I'm just excited. Yeah. We'll start tomorrow.
That's awesome, Andy. Thank you for spending your time with us today. You are a very, very nice man to do that and share your thoughts and wisdom. And we're both big fans of Rock Me Gently. 50 years old. 50 years old. What a great song.
You're not going to get these beats back.
Thank you. I love it. Peace,
thanks.
Andy. Thanks so
thanks,
much.
Andy. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Take care, buddy.
Okay, bye. Thank you.